Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We tape this TV show in Minneapolis, but some Lutherans in North Dakota are flying me out next week because they want me to preach on false teaching in today's church. So I'm all ready with the presentation, but I thought, I've got to do this on TV. So today's program and next week's, it's a two-parter, we're going to talk about the attack upon the Trinity. As you probably know, Christians believe there's only one God, but in God are three eternal persons: God the Father who made us, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. Now, when we think about people attacking the Trinity, we normally think of non-Christian cults like Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe Jesus is God. They think the Trinity is of the devil because when they come to your door, they will say, nowhere does the word Trinity appear in the Bible. And they're right, but the concept of the Trinity starts in Genesis chapter 1 and goes throughout the Bible. Or you've got the Mormons. They don't believe in one God. They believe in thousands of gods. And if you're a good Mormon, you can become a god someday. But today we're going to talk about the fact that in recent decades, pastors, bishops, and seminary professors within Christian denominations are attacking the Trinity. So this is something we have to talk about because you may go to a church where this is going on. So let us pray and let us begin. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we would pray for your church, the churches that are going astray, that they would come back to Scripture. And Lord, speak to each of us now about what's going on in our, not only our crazy world, but now in our crazy denominations. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The attack upon the Trinity. First, let's talk about the attack upon the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. It goes like this. Calling God Father is sexist. Back in the 1990s, liberal feminists and from all the all various liberal denominations came to Minneapolis for the first Reimagining God conference. And these are pastors and bishops and who think it's sexist to call God Father. And so they came together to reimagine new ways to refer to God. And you know who they prayed to at that conference? The goddess Sophia. The United Church of Christ is the most liberal of all the Protestant denominations. I went to a UCC church on a Sunday morning some time ago. The woman presenter got up front and said, "Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Mother and Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is the hymnal of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the liberal branch of Lutheranism. I led my church out of it. You can too. But this is their hymnal. And they have de-sexed all the Psalms. So instead of saying, you know, God, you do this, he does this, he does that, it's God, you do this, they got rid of all the he's. The former head bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, to listen to him preach was torturous. Instead of saying God reveals himself to his creation, it's God reveals God's self to God's creation, getting rid of all the he's. Not too far from my house is a liberal Lutheran church, and they have a big sign on a busy highway, and it says in rainbow colors, "God is proud of all their children." Did you catch that? God is no longer a he, but in a nod to transgenderism, God is now a they. Well, what is our response to this attack on God the Father? Here's our response. Jesus always prays to God the Father. Jesus never once prays to God the Mother. And you know, here's the tragedy of all this. We need God the Father. You know, I went to a Lutheran church and the woman preacher gets up and she says, "A woman came to me for counseling and she had a bad relationship with her father. So I said to her, you know, you had a bad relationship with your earthly father. So it's probably hard for you to pray to God as your father. So go ahead and pray to God as your heavenly mother." And I thought, you know, here's a dear woman who desperately needs a loving father, and this liberal pastor just took him away from her. Jesus calls God Father. Never does he call or pray to God the Mother. And we don't correct Jesus Christ. I live across the street from a large United Methodist church. It's shrinking. I, on a rare occasion, will attend. Last time I was there, the liberal pastor gets up to baptize a baby. He takes the baby in the water. "I baptize you in the name of the one who makes all things, and of the Son, and of the Spirit." Did you catch what he did? He got rid of God the Father. I wrote him a note. "Dear Pastor, Jesus taught us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are in no position to correct Jesus Christ." Let's do the next attack on the Trinity. Now this is the attack on the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, God the Son. It goes like this. There are many saviors, and Jesus is one of many saviors. A religious leader said this recently. "All religions are paths to reach God. They are, to make a comparison, like different languages, different dialects to get there. But God is God for everyone. If you start to fight saying my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will this lead? There is only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, some are Muslim, some are Hindu, Christians. They are different ways to God." Do you know who said those words? Recently, Pope Francis of the Catholic Church. Now, John Paul II would not have said this. Pope Francis said it. Pope Francis said that if atheists do good, they'll go to heaven. And a little seven-year-old boy was crying, and he said, "Pope Francis, my father was an atheist, and he died. Will I ever see him again?" "Your father was a good man. You'll see him again." That's an attack on Jesus Christ. And what is our response to the attack on Jesus' supremacy or uniqueness? It's John chapter 14, 6, where Jesus said, quote, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, period." And Acts chapter 4, the apostles teach, "There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved than the name of Christ." I mean, my first year of college, I was pretty liberal, and I was going to Bible study, but I'd argue with people at Bible study, and I'd say, "Well, you know, if you were born in China, you'd be a Buddhist too." And they kept saying, "Tom, read your Bible. Jesus is the only way to heaven." My first year of college, I reread the New Testament. Every time it talked about hell, I wrote it down because I didn't like the concept of hell either. By the end of my first year of college, my mind started to change. And ever since, I believe in hell. I believe you only can come to heaven through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You know, a few winters ago, on a snowy Sunday morning, I get in my car and I drive to my church. It's a Missouri Synod Lutheran church. They're still very biblical. I get there and the church is closed because of the storm. I turn my car around. I drive home and I'm passing a liberal ELCA Lutheran church. I thought, okay, I'll worship with them. I go into the church and the preacher gets up. "Today I preach on Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul says, quote, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." But then the preacher said, "But What if you don't confess Jesus is Lord? And what if you don't believe in him in your heart? Does that mean you won't be saved? And the preacher said, not necessarily. And I'm thinking, necessarily. And it was horrible. That is the attack on Jesus Christ, that he's one of many ways to get to heaven, not according to Jesus in John 14:6. The next attack on the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And the attack on the Holy Spirit goes like this. The Holy Spirit is giving us new revelation. Years ago, when I was still in the ELCA Lutheran Church, back when they believed homosexual behavior was a sin and you couldn't be a practicing homosexual and a pastor, every year the liberals would try to get that through. And we would have difficult argument on the convention floor. Well, some conservative pastors pushed me out the door and said, Tom, go across town, talk to Pastor Paul, the liberal on this, who's leading the charge, and see if you can come to some common ground so we don't have to have another argument. And I said, okay. And I drove across town. He was in a church in St. Paul. And I said to him, Pastor Paul, Romans chapter 1 is so clear that homosexual behavior is a sin. How do you get around that? His response, the Holy Spirit is giving us a higher consciousness on that issue than the Apostle Paul had when he wrote Romans chapter 1. Did you catch that? That the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say something 2,000 years ago, but the Holy Spirit now is saying something different. The United Church of Christ, again, the most liberal of all the denominations, they have a motto. The motto is, God is still speaking. And what does that mean? Well, I think it means this. God used to say some things long ago, but, you know, he's saying new stuff now. So years ago, I wanted to take a refresher course in New Testament Greek. So I went to a Christian college, and I was a pastor by this point, but I'm just taking a course. And this young woman gets up and says to the whole class, well, the Lord is leading me to be a pastor. And I know some of you don't agree with that. You don't think it's biblical, but I believe the Holy Spirit is calling me to be a pastor. If you want to talk to me about it after class, I can talk to you about it. I tapped her on the shoulder. I said, can we talk? And I was polite, but I said, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that women should not preach over adult men. Well, who are you to question God's calling on my life? Well, the Bible says what it says. Well, the Holy Spirit is telling me to be a pastor. And I tried to make the point, the Holy Spirit does not contradict Scripture. The Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. So if he did that 2,000 years later, he's not going to contradict himself and be schizophrenic. That is the attack upon the Trinity. We need to talk about one more attack, though, and that's the attack upon grace. The Bible teaches, and I'm a Lutheran, Lutherans are big on the fact that we're saved by grace alone and not by good works. I believe that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But let's talk about the attack on grace. Years ago, when I was still in the ELCA, I heard that the Lutheran Hospital in Portland, Oregon, started to perform abortions. I wrote the Lutheran bishop, how can we as a Christian hospital kill unborn children in the womb? He wrote me back, we can do this at a Lutheran hospital because Lutherans believe in the grace of God. And I thought, ugh, that's called grace abuse. And I've said it many times, I'll say it again on this show, the ELCA Lutheran Church pays for abortion for any reason in its health care plan, which is funded by your offering dollars. This is called grace abuse. Let me give you another example of the attack on grace. Here's a couple. Well, Pastor, we're living together, and we're not married, and we know what's wrong, but we know we're Christians because we believe in Jesus. And my response is, I don't think you do. What's our response to the attack on grace? Here's our response. Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? And Paul says, may it never be. So follow this, please. This is important. We are saved by grace alone, by only what Jesus did on the cross and nothing I do. But when you're saved by grace alone, grace never is alone. It always starts to change your life. So if you're living in impenitent sin, you're not saved. Now, yes, we all sin as believers after conversion. We'll sin till the day we die. But when a Christian sins, you repent. You fight your sin. But if there's no repentance in your life, there's no fighting, you're living in sin, you haven't been saved by the grace of God. I mean, back when I was 24 years old, I was the vicar at Valparaiso Lutheran University. And I was a practice preacher, a vicar. And my job was to preach on Wednesday nights at the folk service. So one Wednesday night, I preached 1 Corinthians 6, fornicators won't go to heaven. If you're having sex outside of marriage, your soul is in peril. Then on Sunday nights, I was at the chapel and people dropped in for counseling. And I did my best. And a young woman comes in and she sits down. Vicar Tom, I heard your sermon Wednesday night. And my boyfriend and I, well, and she burst into tears. And she knew what she was doing was wrong. And she repented and asked God to forgive her and resolved to be pure after that. Later, her best friend comes in for counseling. And she, too, had heard that sermon. But her line was this: well, Vicar Tom, I heard what you said on Wednesday night. I do not agree. My boyfriend and I have a loving relationship. Nothing is wrong with what we're doing. And I said, well, let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, who wrote that? I said, the Apostle Paul wrote that. When did he write that? Well, he wrote it 2,000 years ago. Well, times have changed. I said, have they? 1 Corinthians 6, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. She kind of went off in a huff. Months later, she came back, sat down in the chair, and burst into tears because her boyfriend told her to move out. And one way or another, you better follow God on this stuff. This is called grace abuse. All right, so let's put it all together. God the Father is under attack because it's sexist to call God our Father. What's our response to that? Jesus called God our Father. He never once prayed to God the Mother. We don't correct Jesus Christ. The attack on Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, well, he's just one of many saviors. No, you don't. Jesus himself said, John 14:6, I'm the only way to God the Father. And the attack on the Holy Spirit is telling us new things today. Our response is, the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the Bible. He's not schizophrenic. He's not going to contradict what he's already written. One last point. What do you think God thinks of all these attacks upon his name? I'm going to quote Psalm chapter 2. Here we go. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. In other words, you don't attack the Trinity and get away with it. There's something coming called Judgment Day, in which all of us have to stand before God and be rendered unto for what we've done. And you know what? Judgment Day is kind of coming a little early. These churches that are doing this, the United Church of Christ, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the ELCA Lutherans, the Methodist, United Methodist Church, they're shrinking and dying. And the churches that are growing in America are the churches that are following the Bible. Sometimes Judgment Days comes early. So I hope you will make sure you are going to a church which unapologetically worships the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, why do you believe in the Trinity when the word is nowhere found in the Bible?
Yeah, that's what Jehovah's Witnesses say at your door. And here's my response. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity starts in the first paragraph. In the beginning, God created. There's the Father. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water. There's the Spirit. And God said, the Word of God, which we find out in John chapter 1, the Word of God was Jesus. So in the first paragraph. So, you know, throughout the Bible, you're right, the word Trinity is not there, but the concept of the Trinity is, which is why all Christian denominations believe in the Trinity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do these liberal denominations still believe in the Trinity?
Well, you know, technically they do. The Presbyterian Church, USA, the ELCA Lutherans, the Episcopal Church, technically on the books they do, but good luck in some of these churches hearing God referred to as Father. I mean, he still shows up normally in the Lord's Prayer. They'll let him survive there. Mm-hmm. But you'll get a sermon like, instead of God loving God, his children, it's God loving God's children, God, 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 God. And it's just, it's kind of crazy. However, the United Church of Christ, which still technically on the books believes in the Trinity, now you can deny the Trinity, be a Unitarian, and be a pastor in the United Church of Christ. Mm. Anyway, so there you go.
Sad. Did these liberal churches always believe as they do now?
You know, they didn't. When I was a little boy, the Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, they all clearly taught that Jesus is the only way to salvation, that we believe in God the Father Almighty. But things just have changed. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful now when you go church shopping. Go to church, everybody. Don't let all this negative stuff. There are tons of good churches in America. Find a good church and go every week. But you got to be careful.
You have to know the word.
Yeah, you do.
What do you think led these denominations astray?
Well, I'll talk about the Lutherans. Back in the 1920s in Germany, with a, you know, it's a Lutheran land in Germany because Luther was from there. And the state church is Lutheran, at least it was. They started getting liberal in their seminaries. And Rudolf Bultmann taught that the resurrection of Christ is a myth. And people from America would go to Germany to become trained as pastors because they thought they were so enlightened over there. And they brought this stuff back to America. And then slowly but surely it came out of the seminaries into the churches. And I went to Luther Theological Seminary. And when I went many years ago, it was moderate to liberal. Now it's radical. Mm. I mean, transgender preachers and praying to God the Mother and anyway. So there you go.
Why do they allow that? I have to wonder.
Because they believe that that's who God is now. Hmm. They're enlightened, they think. So.
They think. My Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. Nowhere does it teach that Jesus is God.
Yes, it does. The Bible teaches both. Jesus is the Son of God. He's also God the Son. Where does it clearly teach in the Bible that Jesus is God? Hebrews chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, John chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2. If you go to my website, pastorstudy.org, hit the button that says, is the Trinity biblical? And all the verses that teach that Jesus is God are right there for you to look up. Pastorstudy.org, hit the button, is the Trinity biblical?
There okay.
Yeah.
Some pastors say that the Holy Spirit is not a he, but a she, and they claim the Bible teaches this. Is this true?
It is not true. The word pneuma in Greek for spirit is neuter. So they say, well, that shows he's not masculine. No, that's not the way language works. I mean, the word for el sombrero in Spanish is male. Does that mean hats are male? That's not what the way language works. And when a pronoun is used of the Holy Spirit in the book of John, it's a masculine pronoun. And I'll tell you, Mona, many years ago, you were part of Hope Lutheran Church. I was the pastor there for 29 years. Way back at the end of the 90s, I came to my elders. And this is after the ELCA voted to keep paying for abortions with offering dollars. And I said to the elders, let's get out of this denomination. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, and they weren't liberal. They were just kind of, let's wait and pray. And so, okay. Well, one of my elders went to an ELCA Lutheran church for a confirmation service for his niece. And the pastor prayed over each child, oh, Holy Spirit, may the Holy Spirit come upon these children in all of her power.
And the elder came back to Hope and said to the elders, let's get out of here. And that's what got us out of the ELCA. I couldn't do it, but he could.
So there you go.
Oh, should I stay in a church which rarely mentions God as Father, or that teaches Jesus is not the only way of salvation?
I would not. You know, we've only got one life. We want our money and our time and talents to go to spreading the gospel. Mm-hmm. Why stay in a church where they're doing evil things with your offering dollar? Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if your church teaches there's many ways to heaven, why go to church? You know.
Exactly.
So.
Which denominations are still good?
Well, you know, I'm a Lutheran. There are still good. The ELCA Lutheran Church, the big one, is very liberal. But the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, the Wisconsin Synod, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the LCMC Church, there's a new group called that broke away from the ELCA, the North American Lutheran Church. There are still good Lutheran churches. If you're Presbyterian, I would avoid the Presbyterian Church USA, which has gone over the cliff. But there's the Presbyterian Church in America. There's the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So, and if you're an Episcopalian, they also are highly liberal. But so you go to the Anglican version of the Episcopal Church, there are good alternatives. But you know where people are going?
Where?
They're going to the big non-denominational Bible churches, mm-hmm. which still uphold the scripture on mm-hmm. these issues. So there you go.
There you go. Which denominations should I be wary of?
Well, I just said the United Church of Christ, PCUSA Presbyterians, ELCA Lutherans, and those. Yeah.
Which churches are cults?
A cult is a group that says they're Christian but aren't, mm-hmm. and that would be the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Christian Science Church, the Unity Church, the New Age kind of churches, and just those would be the cults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. How do I respond to people who say I am narrow-minded for believing that only Jesus saves and not Buddhism, Islam, etc.?
Well, you get this from people who say they're Christians. And mm-hmm. I just have to say, okay, you're a Christian, you follow Jesus. Yes, but I believe there's many roads. Then why did Jesus himself say in John 14:6, he's the only way to God the Father? Are you smarter than Jesus? Do you know something he doesn't? Should we be contradicting our Lord? That's what and you know what? This is offensive, but Mona, on that issue, I can afford to be narrow-minded. I'm right.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm right not because of me, but because of Jesus and what he said.
Do we have enough time for
I think we better not, everybody. But everybody, thanks for watching this program. Pray for our ministry. We've had a couple stations that I don't know if they're going to kick us off the air or not because they don't like our biblical views, but pray that we don't. Also, pray about supporting us. The only people that support us, the reason we're on the air is because of people that support us. And at our website, pastorstudy.org, or you'll see an address at the end of the program. And pray about supporting us because that's what will keep us from withdrawing from stations. Also, go to our website, pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. The issues I've talked about today, you hit the F button at our website, you get all the Facebook articles explaining all this.
Thanks for joining us today on the Pastor's Study. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.